Welcome to Mulder Was Right, a conspiracy and alternative facts podcast, which we try to be a little jokey about those. My name is Brandon, and I'm joined today by my fellow eschatologists, Curtis and Brandon.
Wow.
Do you guys know what eschatology is?
I don't know what that means.
You're going to find out.
Okay.
This is going to turn into an eschatology podcast for the next 40-ish minutes.
Okay.
Or however long this ends up being.
Yeah, we'll just edit the correct time exactly to the second.
Yes.
Like, it's going to be exactly.
After we're done, we'll have the exact to the seconds, and then you'll just dub me over.
Great. Saying, I love it.
Great. Yeah. All right. So this week, we're going to talk about David Mead. Who for long-time listeners, which I'm not at all a long-time listener, but some people are, you might remember David Mead being mentioned for 2 seconds on the Nibiru episode.
Yep.
Where Curtis over here talked about the planetoid hurtling through space
and
toward Earth.
I totally remember talking about him completely.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Well, he featured really prominently for those 3 seconds.
Great.
That you spoke about him. The last two episodes, right, we've talked about individuals, and so when I was doing research, I was like, well, why stop there?
Picking an individual.
Yeah. We should do one person, do a little deep dive into their life, and I just happen to across David Mead's name. And then I found out that there's no biographical information about David Mead at all.
Okay. Just to backtrack a little bit, can we call it spelunking into their lives?
Absolutely.
Great.
Yes.
All right, I'm in.
You got your gear?
I have my spelunking gear. Okay, I have great. Been spelunking.
I was wondering why you were dressed that way.
Yes. I mean, this is how I always dress here in the bunker.
That right. Yes, of course.
You just have
course.
To spelunk around to,
right.
in the bunker.
Yeah, you got
to
grapple.
Hey, Curtis,
across.
Make sure to grab the rope down there. That way you don't fall.
Yeah, I am. We are.
I left that there so you would trip over it. And so we'd have something to talk about and be sad about next episode.
Oh, well, I won't do that. And I'll be on next episode instead.
Okay, fine.
All right. David Mead
is made up, I think.
You think he's made up?
Yeah.
Wow, this is like conspiracy 101. Like.
And no, so there's definitely a human being out there calling himself David Mead. Well, there are actually two individuals, but we'll get to the second one later. The one that we're going to talk about for most of the episode.
The plot this is more confusing than whether or not Finland exists.
Yeah.
Finland exists.
I don't know about that, buddy.
That's not what Reddit says.
I only look at Reddit for Destiny 2 information, and that's it. Anyway, so...
I still play that game?
I started playing again last Tuesday. Shut up.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Leave me alone.
This one's kind of garbage.
Oh, wow. We'll talk about this later.
Keep going.
So, David Mead, who has sort of a southern twang to his voice. I've heard his voice a lot over the last few days. Unfortunately, because it involved tuning into a lot of right-wing conspiracy religious YouTube shows where he was calling in. I haven't seen his face except for in a blurry photo, which will like
he's
I
like
have
the
not
Loch
Ness seen him monster. In the flesh. Yeah. No. And on each of these appearances that he's made, including on Glenn Beck's radio show, which we'll talk about shortly.
Ooh.
They talk about how he went to the University of Louisville and studied astronomy there.
Okay.
And then how he spent 10 years doing some combination of government forensic work, which I don't know how astronomy leads into forensics.
That's very vague. Like, forensics is like really a study of like really minor things, you know, in like a crime scene. Like,
sure.
Oh, these fingerprints.
Sure.
Oh, these hair follicles. Astronomy is a study of planets.
Well, yes.
To be fair, I personally...
Are you going to say each of us is a planet?
I personally have a degree in film.
Yes.
I am not actually working in the film industry. I currently was working in the hospitality industry.
Okay, but hospitality emerges from how you are as a person, right?
Like, oh, it's I'm just saying that sometimes sometimes you use your degree and then sometimes you don't. But, you know, doing jobs in forensics definitely feels like you should have a degree in that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, Brendan, if you shot different. Someone and your crime scene was a bit of a mess, you might want someone who did not study forensics at all to be in charge of your crime scene so you'd get off. Maybe that's the plus.
Oh, so it's like double conspiracy here.
No, that's just me spitballing. So something else he did during that 10 years is write special reports for Fortune 100 companies. And try as I might, I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, that could be a lot of things.
Special reports.
The source you got said special reports.
It was repeated several times. It's on his website. Glenn Beck said it out of Glenn Beck's mouth.
Well, I don't like when Glenn Beck talks, but at least the words that come out of his mouth are from his brain and not someone else's, and that's all connected and normal.
A man on YouTube named Pastor Begley also said it, so
that's a made-up name.
It's not. It's a real man. Well, it might be a made-up name, but he's a real man. I watched, like, 2 hours of his show.
Oh, boy. You went deep.
It was a lot. Anyway, so somewhere in all of that, he used, probably when he was in school, though he claims he used it when he was doing cryptography work, he used this astronomy program called Stellarium.
Okay.
Which I guess is just a way to do calculations about the movements of the stars and that sort of stuff. And just
okay.
To sort of track.
Where you find an object and you can input equations and
see where
it's going to go. Okay. And he used that.
He used it.
Just for his astronomical seeings?
No, to aid himself in eschatological research.
Oh, okay.
And eschatology, as it turns out, is the study of the end times.
Oh.
The end of human history.
Why isn't it called terminology?
Because it's actually a religious term, I think, and so it has to have sort of a... Terminology would be dope.
Yeah, terminology
You're not wrong.
Is 100% what that word should be.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into the, like... where that word came from. There's some Greek in there, I'm sure, but
escape.
Yeah, sure.
Escalade.
All right. Oh,
I was hoping for some sort of nod to like the apocalypse or something.
Apocatology.
Rapturology.
I'm a rapturist.
Yeah, I believe the rapture's coming.
Oh, boy, and does David Mead.
Oh, boy.
he's basically got this racket. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't call it a racket. He's got this setup where he writes books. And
like
he,
a computer?
No. Well, I mean like a business. Okay, yeah. He only sells his books for like $3 on Amazon, so maybe he's not the greediest conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, you know,
need to know.
Yeah, he's got to eat, and people need to know.
People need to be ready. They need to ready their bodies, their souls. They need to pack a bag.
I didn't realize you could bring a bag.
It's like when you're like about to go into labor, you have a bag ready. So when you go to the hospital,
right,
you can just grab your bag and go.
Right.
It's, when rapture happens, you grab your bag and then you get sucked up.
You don't want to go to heaven and not have any stuff.
No. And Curtis, there is a pregnant woman involved in David Mead's astronomical equations.
Wow, I like that sentence. Astronomical. Is there just a pregnant woman floating around in space?
One pregnant woman plus one bag equals.
I'm not gonna say no, Curtis, because that would be a lie. So here's the deal. As covered in episode 31 of Mulder Was Right, Nibiru. Now, that episode featured Nancy Leiter, who has had a long-standing belief that like a planetoid of some kind was hurtling through space and was going to, if not hit Earth, pass by it and affect it in a really grave way.
Swap the poles.
Yes, some pole shifting. A serious
rearranging of the continents and the sea levels.
The sea levels and all that. Yeah. You described Nancy Leiter's website as one of the most organized and well put together websites for conspiracy theory you'd ever seen.
Mostly because of that map.
Yeah,
that you could just click anywhere in the world and
see if you were okay.
Right, and see what was going to happen to that spot. Like, a lot of work was put into that, and it's, like, really well made. And if you believed that was the case, like, that's exactly what you should do.
Yeah.
Like, you should create that map and let people know.
Yeah. So David Mead's website is a fucking mess by comparison. It's each paragraph alternates colors. It's blue and then red, blue and then red, blue and then red.
Oh,
and it's these big, like, chunks.
Oh, no.
anyway, we'll get to his website in a little bit. He's got this great thing that we're going to read because it's really beautiful.
I like reading.
So there was a point around when you guys did that episode, about a month out from when you did that episode, when it was believed that Nibiru was going to hit Earth, or it was going to arrive soon.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I did that episode around that time period.
Yes. Yeah. Because some other guy, not what's her name, Nancy, right?
Yeah.
So not Nancy, but some other guy said that.
This guy.
Yeah.
This guy.
Oh, this guy, David Mead.
Yes.
Right.
David Mead said that.
This guy.
Okay.
Yeah. and so he.
David Mead was wrong.
He was really wrong. As it turns out, he was wrong several times since then, too.
Okay.
He kept pushing it back.
Oh, did I say this? I meant, like, 2019. So
he kept adjusting his date, and then in most recent months, he's been like, actually, it's just a process, right? Like, the September 23rd started something, but...
Right, okay. Of course, because they always
on September 23rd.
What happened?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you. But first, I have to tell you about Glenn Beck.
Okay.
Articles about...
Usually, if that were a prelude to information I was desiring, I would stop desiring that information and walk away.
You're locked in. And Glenn Beck's reaction to David Mead may make you feel better.
Oh, okay.
Glenn Beck had David Mead on his radio show for 12 minutes and 48 seconds, which was a much shorter brief time than I thought I was in for when I clicked on it.
Lucky you.
I had already sat through some garbage by then, so not really, but yeah. So I'm not sure why Glenn Beck thought that it was cool, or like why he wanted David Mead on there, because during the interview, he sounds a little bit like he doesn't, like, take David Mead seriously at all, which is wild, because if Glenn Beck doesn't take you seriously about some shit you're saying about the rapture, then you must be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Glenn Beck's just really conservative, not so much like a conspiracy theorist, but like, I mean, like, not in the sense that, like, Alex Jones is a conspiracy theorist.
Right, sure.
Like,
no, you're right.
Much more toned down, not like Illuminati level.
To be fair, most of my exposure of Glenn Beck is through The Daily Show when Jon Stewart was still on there. Often he would have clips of Glenn Beck on his show.
Right.
And then famously one time imitated Glenn Beck's like whiteboard situation. It was really wild. I just assume things based on that portrayal. Whatever. So David Mead goes on Glenn Beck to talk about Nibiru, but really he goes on there to talk about all of these astrological signs that are leading to the beginning of the 7-year tribulation, which is part of Revelations. Like, there's a 7-year tribulation in which the world is sort of in upheaval politically, and also natural disasters and that sort of thing.
Right, they, like, anti, like in the Bible, in the Book of Revelation,
yes,
like
right.
the
yes.
Antichrist is like fucking shit up.
Yeah, right, and then that's followed by this 1,000-year period of peace.
Oh wait, like after that?
After the tribulations.
Oh, okay, so just 7 years.
Yeah.
Of like,
but
messing around.
But to
it
quote
seems worth it.
Glenn Beck,
well, I'm
he
assuming
called
that
it
a lot of people
nightmare.
Are dying.
Yeah, yeah, like
I'm
it's
assuming,
not good.
Yeah. that it's close to like a purge, like getting rid of a bunch of stuff.
Right.
A bunch of bad people, right. Just like in the movie Knowing.
He found it. He did it. But David Mead doesn't talk about the peace much. He's mostly interested in all the hell that's to come.
Of course.
I mean, you know, that's what people do. You have to shock them into believing what you're saying, you know.
Absolutely.
That's a large reason why there are a lot of preachers at churches that preach fire and brimstone, because you have to be scared, and you have to be scared of the higher being in order to, you know, go with what the church says.
And so David Mead pulls out this part of Revelation, Revelation 12, 1 and 2, which goes thusly. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered.
Okay.
That's the pregnant woman floating in space. And so David Mead believed this to be a description of a once-in-a-lifetime astrological event.
Yeah, that's not a common occurrence. Yeah.
And the, pregnant woman in the sky is Nibiru.
No.
Okay.
We're getting there. No, it's actually just Virgo and Leo crossing paths in the sky over Jerusalem.
Is that a thing that's actually happening?
So he said, so he was on Glenn Beck September 21st, 2 days before whatever was supposed to happen was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he was claiming on Glenn Beck's show that this is what was going to happen, and it would signal the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period.
Oh, so this was going to be the very beginning.
Yes. And he even sort of amended that by saying on Glenn Beck's program that maybe it had started already, or like that some things had started to brew because of the worse than average hurricanes that we experienced last season.
Uh-huh.
This other thing that I watched with the pastor, he had a whole segment of his show where he just like went on this listing of earthquakes that had happened in the last 24 hours and just went, 6.0, 6.0, 6.0, 6.0, 6.0, boom, boom, boom. It was wild. And,
I could see how that would be fun to listen to.
That part was fun to listen to. The rest was not. He also rhymed a lot. Like whenever he was talking about something really hard, he would just like start to rhyme. And
was that like a coping mechanism?
Or he was like, it's sort of like, you guys have been to church.
Yes.
You know the rhythm they get into, that kind of gets you rocking a little bit, and I never experienced a moment where I was really convinced by anything that was happening in church, but I did at a distance appreciate the vibe that their sort of presentation style created.
Yes.
This was a worse version of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, giant lady in the sky, Venus and Leo converging, sort of signals the beginning of this tribulation period. And then Nibiru.
Yes.
Now, David Mead, this differs somewhat from Nina Leiters?
Nancy
Leiters, description of Nibiru, because it seems like she believed it was just like a singular rock planet thing,
yeah.
Right?
And yeah, so just one.
David Mead describes Nibiru as a system with a quarter-mile debris field surrounding it and a couple of asteroids
it's
in there as well.
Not very big in terms of
no,
like,
it's not. It's not
scale. That's a very small
it's,
space.
It's
Earth's atmosphere is much, much larger than a quarter mile. Like,
I know it. It's very strange because in the same breath as he says it's a quarter mile, he says also it would have to be 3 kilometers to destroy 1/3 of the Earth's oceans, which I don't know.
What?
So he's like saying, so it's a quarter of a mile, but also, and then in different measurement, it's not big enough to do a thing.
But he seemed to be intimating that it would do the thing. So I don't know. So there's Nibiru, of course, and then there's this debris field, which is not very large. And then, and then there are two asteroids, I don't know, going around it, perhaps.
Also very close.
One of these asteroids is called Wormwood.
Okay.
Now, yeah, it is. It's from Revelation as well. Revelations 8 makes reference to a star called Wormwood, and it is sort of a herald of the coming of the rapture. Vaguely.
Okay.
It's like in two lines that I could find. So he sort of interchangeably calls Nibiru, Planet X, Wormwood, even though Wormwood is this asteroid.
Right.
I'm not sure why he does that, but he does.
I mean, isn't Planet X something different than Nibiru too?
Well, like Nibiru can be referred to as Planet X.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Planet X was Nancy's original designation for Nibiru, and then she read a book, right, called 12th Planet or something, and she was like, Nibiru
has like some ancient like history/ lore to it.
Sorry, it's been a while. I know, since episode 31.
I'm sort of like pulling at this information myself.
But it was August 17th. It's a long time
like
ago.
there is some like real ancient religion like associations to it.
Yeah.
So like that's kind of where the idea comes from.
Right. And so like in the episode about Nibiru, it seems like David Mead is mostly talking about this thing as a catalyst for the shit he wants to really talk about, which is the rapture. He doesn't go into pole shifting, although I did hear him say pole shifting a few times, but not to the extent that Nancy did, where she was
Nancy had it. Like, Nancy literally had the poles shift so that they, like, weren't even opposite of each other anymore.
Yeah.
which I really loved.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah.
100%. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And in here, he also describes our universe. You're gonna appreciate this. He describes our universe as an electric universe, and there's plasma in outer space, which he uses the word interfect, but I'm not sure what that means. I think he meant interact.
Interfect.
And he was talking to Glenn Beck. I think he was really like nervous. Later on his website, he described Glenn Beck as the greatest human he'd ever met. So he was really happy to have been in Glenn Beck's program.
You see, I'm really hoping that the word interfact is actually just an intergalactic fact.
It probably
it's just,
is.
It's just spans
throughout
all of the galaxies, and they're like, this is an intergalactic fact.
According to Merriam-Webster's, it is not a word.
Well, it definitely is not a word.
Not on the you know, English dictionary or the Earth dictionary,
but in the David Mead dictionary.
But check the Nibiru
dictionary.
The intergalactic dictionary.
Urban Dictionary says it's a fact someone found on the internet.
An interfact.
Shit.
Well, that's not right either.
Well, that's what I'm talking about right now.
You're
right?
I know. We pretty much only talk about interfacts on this show, also known as alternative facts.
Right.
So he said there's like plasma out.
There's plasma in outer space, which is like helping the planets communicate with one another.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how this related to anything because he then drops it, but
he's basically just describing like the ancient concept of ether, you know,
perhaps, yes,
which is that there had to be some medium for light to go through, which is how light made it through a vacuum, so it was going through the medium of ether.
He does talk about some of the effects of Nibiru on the planet. He specifically says that Nibiru is not going to hit Earth, it's just going to get really close to the sun and fuck up the sun's magnetosphere.
Okay.
Which is just its magnetic field.
Right, yeah.
And then that's even though this, I mean, I'm sure that if the, something happens to the sun, we're fucked. But he specifically says that the Nibiru messing up the magnetosphere will affect our electrical grid.
Yeah. I mean, perhaps, like, Nibiru, like, I think, is not supposed to be that big. Like,
yeah, I don't,
but I don't know. There's, well, like, conflicting accounts of Nibiru being, like, a second sun. And then yeah, some accounts of Nibiru being, like, planet-sized.
I definitely saw some reference to the phenomenon where people will see, like, a refraction of light that then looks like two suns side by side.
Yeah.
And that they'll call that
Nibiru.
In fact, the Pastor Begley said that three separate people, someone from Maine, someone from South Carolina, someone from Alabama, all wrote him letters talking about how they saw Nibiru in the sky. Because they saw, like, two suns in the sky.
And yeah,
like, that's Nibiru. And he talked about it, like, five times in his two-hour show. That's why I remember the states.
Conspiracy theorists love anecdotal evidence.
They do.
Yeah. Me too.
But, like, I mean, I could see it if Nibiru was either sun-sized or even just planet-sized. Chances are if it got really close to the sun, it would probably do something.
Like, if it was planet-sized, it'd probably just fall into the sun. And it...
Yeah, but I still feel like something would happen in the sun, though. Or, maybe not in the sun, but the sun giving off, you know, something. Like,
maybe. I don't know. Shit that big generally doesn't fall into the sun, so...
I mean, it's true.
We'd know about it if, like, a planet fell into the sun.
Yeah.
We'd be done. It would be over.
I also like that we're just talking about it like, oops, it got, like, bumped, and then it fell into the sun.
Mercury just, Mercury's, oh, there, man, it
someone
goes.
Someone bumped into Mercury. God, now we lost it. Mercury. All right, I guess we're the third planet from the sun now.
We're the second, then.
Yeah, second, because we're already the third.
Oh, sorry, yes. What was I?
You were thinking about Nibiru.
You're talking. You must remember the popular sitcom, The Third Rock from the Sun.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, but for some reason, I was like, it's called The Fourth Rock from the Sun.
So the one piece of concrete evidence that David Mead trucks out in all of the things that I listened to him speak in was something called, get ready for it, I was so excited when I heard this phrase, Nibra Sky Disc.
Okay,
Now, like a magic card.
Does that it does? Does that not sound like the dopest alien artifact you ever found?
The Sky Disc.
Yeah, right. That sounds like something some comic book Marvel hero shit would just come down to the sky. Thanos is like, "Give me the Sky Disc. I need it for my gauntlet."
Right. He needs this so he can control the skies.
Yeah. Right. Not that cool, but pretty cool. Just actually on the level of cool, really rad.
Okay.
So it's this disc made of bronze, and it is considered the oldest depiction of the sky, like of an astrological event.
Oh, it's like a real thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he made it up.
I know. Me too.
You have to specify almost on this show when you're about to talk about a real thing.
I wanted the mystery to be there for at least a little while. Anyway,
Just the fact that we're sitting in this room talking about conspiracy theories, I'm still not convinced this thing is real, just because the setting I'm sitting in right now.
So David Mead says he has studied this thing. I don't think he's had his hands on it because of the circumstances of its discovery, which I'll talk about in a second.
Surely it must be in a museum.
I'm assuming he's looked at pictures on the internet.
Like I
have. Or looked at it in a museum.
Yeah, and so I agree with both of you. That's definitely what he did. He purports that the Nibra Sky Disc depicts the last time that Nibiru came close to the Earth, which you'll remember happens every 3,600 to 3,700 years.
Fair.
Right. I remember last time.
The Nibra Sky Disc is dated to 1600 BC, which is literally 3,600 years ago.
That far ago.
So he at least did his math.
That math checks out. Like, and that is just a bar that is sometimes not reached,
yes,
in conspiracy theories.
Yes.
Is 2 plus 2, 4 is a big bar for them.
A great detail he throws in there is that Nibiru caused the Great Flood, Noah's Flood.
Okay.
When it was here last. He just throws that out there very casually, offers no other details, but seems you know, if he's fitting things in there with his math anyway, pretty good.
It'd be interesting.
I mean, I feel like that's what conspiracy theorists do. They talk about some fact that, you know, this thing was 3,600 years ago. Also, you know,
Noah's flood happened some undetermined amount of time ago.
And
it was Nibiru early was man's was because life. Of that. Yeah.
It'd be interesting to listen, because there are like biblical historians that will try to like date events in the Bible, and so to hear like a popular interpretation of when Noah's flood actually happened. Of course, there are probably many dates, many different interpretations, but I imagine there is like one that's more accepted than others.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go ahead and say that Nibiru causing the Great Flood is not one of them.
Yeah, it's certainly a fringe interpretation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really briefly about the Nibiru Sky Disk, just because I like saying Nibiru Sky Disk, and because its discovery is interesting. Pair of treasure hunters found it in Germany. They were just poking around with a metal detector, and they found it, and they were doing so illegally. And I guess in Germany, archaeological artifacts like this are... just automatically property of the state. And so they knew they were deep in it. They had found it illegally and they wanted to sell it.
Right.
So they went and did it really quickly. They sold it very quickly. And then it was found with, two bronze swords, two hatchets, a chisel, and fragments of spiral bracelets.
Okay.
And those just got chunked around Germany on the black market for a while, until the German government was like, yo, we need these, we found out about them and we want them, and they got them back.
When
and
was
now
this?
1999 to 2001.
Okay.
It's neat.
You see, I was really hoping that like Indiana Jones was gonna come in and take it and be like, that belongs in a museum.
Like, literally, this involves like archaeology police to like come in and take some shit. You know, like, so yeah.
Look, so David Mead's on Glenn Beck's program. Glenn Beck. When David Mead starts to talk about Wormwood, when he says the word Wormwood, Glenn Beck goes, okay. Like, he literally says that. And then there's a weird commercial break in the end where I think they may have had to cut and
out.
Like, need to talk to David for a second. And then the second half, he's like really talking about the plasma and shit. It's wild. I don't know. But David Mead seems to think that it was a great...
it was a great experience.
It happened. I think it raised his awareness really high.
You see, I feel like what probably happened was that, you know, like they stopped the program and was like, hold on, David, look, I know that this stuff is real, but like, but like, it's a little too much. We can't promote this stuff. You know, even on my show, we can't promote this stuff right now, you know?
But
don't worry, David. I'm on your side. It's just when the time is right, we'll release the information.
Absolutely. Well, I can't imagine what they cut out, because the stuff they kept in was wild. Yeah. And so obviously I'm going to be honest. I didn't go try and find out if you could see Venus and Leo above Jerusalem on September 23rd.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. I want
to
say...
It's a really oddly specific thing to have to research, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't even know how you would
did
figure
Leo
out that
and...
information.
Be directly above Jerusalem on September 23rd.
Right. He said you could see it barely above Jerusalem, or you could see it in Stellarium, his software. Which I feel like is really
great.
Easily manipulatable. Is that a word?
Sure.
Okay.
You can also see constellations in Minecraft.
Dope. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Someone tell David about Minecraft.
When it's time.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, and you know, I hear that specific constellations can be seen above Jerusalem in Minecraft.
Minecraft Jerusalem.
Minecraft Jerusalem.
Did Donald Trump move the Minecraft?
Highly contested.
Yes.
So I didn't do that. So I can't tell you if it happened or not. And I don't feel bad about it because you know what? It wasn't a giant pregnant woman in the sky, which right after she appears in the sky, a dragon appears. Revelations is crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's a red dragon. They fight.
Wait,
she has
the pregnant woman
and
the dragon fight?
I think so. And then she has the baby and then someone absconds with the baby and she hides in the wilderness away from the baby and the dragon's still around. Anyway.
Man, Revelations is wild.
It is. You know what else is wild? David Mead's website.
Yes.
On which he has a pitch for a reality television show.
Oh boy.
Format of show, reality series. Logline. This is a pitch about a series about your destiny. It's creative, intelligent, and real, where the audience is brought into the discovery process. An ongoing search for the truth and its many facets like a diamond. It's all about Planet X, the Book of Revelation, and the New World Order with the world's preeminent researchers. People love this material. It is beyond high concept. It'll blow the other reality TV shows out of the water. Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Can't keep up with this. I hesitated on that joke, and I really shouldn't have. Basically, this show is just like David Mead and his very, very smart researcher friends arguing about Planet X a bunch.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like a reality TV show.
I know. I don't know what it is. David Mead possesses an in-depth knowledge of code breaking, including Bible codes, military intelligence and covert operations, deep space, astronomical theory, and eschatology. He can relate and tie in international geopolitical events to these same themes. He is unique on the world scene in that talent.
Wow.
I don't know why this show hasn't been picked up.
Me either.
I mean...
I know why I don't want it to be, though.
It'll
it's just so I think where I landed on David Mead is so he was on Glenn Beck, right? He wrote some books, he ratcheted up this prediction that on September 23rd something would happen, that this astrological event would occur, and he utilized the attention he received by being on Glenn Beck and by all of these articles dropping his name. On September 21st, something happened in Orange County where a television program was interrupted by an emergency alert.
Television program?
I read a variety of them. It seems like I think it was the governmental, like the local, like emergency broadcast was just
interrupted all of the TV shows.
Okay.
And
this was in California.
The September 21st, the same day he was on Glenn Beck, and okay. 2 days before the astrological event.
Pregnant lady fought with a dragon.
Yes, right. And I think and so it was a black screen and it said emergency alert across it. And there was a red orange bar across the screen. It didn't seem like a normal, it didn't seem very official. And there was audio, some really ominous audio over it. And I couldn't find a full recording, but it said things like realize that in the last days, extremely violent times will come. And the term means hard, harsh, hard to deal with, vicious, dangerous, menacing. And I don't know why, but it's not clearly David Mead's voice. And it's... But all of these outlets in Orange County were like, this is related to David Mead and Nancy Later's... Nibiru, whatever.
Prediction, yeah.
Um, And so it sort of seems like someone who maybe is a believer of his, like, hacked the TV stations in Orange County and broadcast this for 10 minutes on September 21st. It's very strange.
Really? And this was, like, recently?
Well, no, it was like in the same time frame.
Yeah, what year are we talking about?
Last year.
Okay, yeah. So it was
recently.
Yeah.
Okay, damn.
Yeah. It's just weird. So, I don't know. I feel like David Mead is an opportunist, and he may believe that the world is going to end in this specific way that he's going for. I'm sure he does, actually. To hear him speak, he's very detailed and eloquent about it. But he's ultimately out there to kind of capitalize on the hysteria caused by this, like, moment in media we have where people are really ratcheted up about this sort of stuff, right?
Anything goes right now.
Yeah, it's really wild.
It's kind of disturbing. You know, I mean, it's these people who are opportunists who, you know, they kind of just take advantage of what, you know, specifically America, but like the rest of the world is going through, where you have, you know, a president who is claiming that all of the media is fake news. And so we're getting all of this alternative media. And all this alternative media can say whatever they want without fear of being, you know, incorrect or, you know, being fact-checked on it because we have a president who can just say, well, it's fake news. And like, some people believe it, but, like, he's not held accountable for it.
Right.
And so we have all of these media sources that are not being held accountable for all of these reckless and wild, you know, accusations or statements that are being thrown out.
Absolutely. And David Mead knows that. And is like a full-on Trumper, for sure. He has a book out.
A trumpet, yeah, you could say.
A trumpet, absolutely. The Don and his trumpets. Oh, Jesus Christ. He has a book called The Coup d'Etat Against Trump. I think it's his most recent book. And it's actually the aspect of him that made me feel the most like he was an opportunist, especially in the ways you're describing, like, it's a time now where freewheeling proclamations can be thrust out there and without much vetting, without.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah. You know, I'm not saying that these alternative, you know, media, you know, shouldn't be able to do
right,
like
sure,
like I'm not saying that they shouldn't be able to, you know. You know, throw out, you know, alternative thinking and stuff like that. But the issue is that it's not being vetted.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That it's not being backed up by fact. And, you know, all of the reputable news sources are potentially being thrown under the bus saying that they are not being vetted, even though that they are.
And viral is a strange thing in 2018, I think, but, something that kept occurring, like, you know, he kept pushing his predictions back to the point where this year, just like a last month, April 23rd, many outlets suggested that David Mead had predicted that the world was going to end on April 23rd. And David Mead had to come out and say, I didn't. He made so many predictions that fucking USA Today ran a story in which he was quoted as saying that the world was going to end. And then they ran a correction that was like, actually, he said he didn't say this.
They were like, they didn't even bother. They're just like, yeah, he probably said that.
Yeah.
Like,
and they were like, guess what? It's not, you know,
and that's the world that we live in, though.
It is. Yeah. Like, it was on, I think it, you know, it's not April 23rd anymore, but I think it probably ran on the front page. Like, you could probably really easily access that story.
Yeah.
So whatever. Yeah. Our media environment's fucked and whatever. So, I have one last thing to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that there are two David Meads.
Yes.
So I found this out kind of on accident. I was just Googling David Mead, and I ended up on a website that I thought was his website, and it turned out it wasn't. And I learned that not because I didn't recognize his face, because again, I've only seen one blurry photo of David Mead.
Mm-hmm. He's more of a radio personality.
Right. but because a message popped up when I went to the website and it said, I am not that David Mead. It turns out that there, and you know, this guy also sounds interesting. His name is also David Mead. He's British. He's a mind reader.
Of course, other David Mead had to be something bizarre.
And I didn't do a deep dive into his doings and his goings on.
Because he's not this David Mead.
Yeah, right. But he is a mind reader, and he has, because of all of the attention accrued by Glenn Beck's, this is actually really funny. So our David Mead goes on Glenn Beck, and then Glenn Beck, when listing his appearance on, when listing David Mead's appearance on Glenn Beck's show on the website, he linked to British mind reading David Mead's website.
Oh my
and
God.
Twitter.
Yes. I love that it was the same person.
Yes.
It wasn't like one of the other. No, it was both the wrong David Mead.
And sadly, I think British mind reading David Mead had to put this on his website, this notice about how he's not this man. Because
getting so much traffic.
He received like death threats and shit. He like
yeah, that must
just because this guy was like, yo, this planetoid debris field thing is gonna hit the sun and fuck up our electrical grid. He said that on Glenn Beck, and Glenn Beck just mistagged him.
They probably, like, whoever's job it was to do that, like, went to the website and was like, surely this is it. This guy claims he can read minds.
Yeah.
Surely this is the
guy.
This
must be it. Yeah.
Just like USA Today was like, surely David Mead said that.
Yeah, because like, if other David Mead, like davidmead.com or something, was
like, I'm a woodworker. I build houses for a living. You know,
like there's no way that that's David Mead.
Yeah.
But if it was something equally bizarre, this has got to be it.
Yeah.
This is why he knows everything. He could read people's minds.
That is very funny.
That is very funny.
That poor other David Mead.
Yeah, I feel
yeah.
for him.
I have no idea if we can endorse him as a person, but yeah, sure. Sorry that Glenn Beck messed up your life, and that this other David Mead is so
death threats, man.
It's a lot.
People are terrible.
Yeah, that part of our culture is really distressing.
Yeah.
The doxing and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
anyway.
The way we can just like hear something on some outlet, some form of media,
and
we just like hear it, and just like some cursory form of it enters our brain, and we're just like, Hergerber!
Yeah,
and like, right. let
I
me react
to
entirely them. To this, and then
let me go
like,
all the way.
You're seeing like a small infinitesimal fraction of this person's life,
right?
And, like,
yeah,
you can't just like react that way to them, you know?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, you know. Like, sometimes there are certain statements that, like, justify, like, a fair amount of vitriol and anger.
Absolutely.
But, like, you know, when someone's just kind of like, you know, like,
yeah,
there's a planet in the sky, or someone who's just like, you know, I didn't really like Infinity War. You know, like, we have to, like, tone down our reactions.
Curtis, is that your opinion about Infinity War?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
We'll talk
probably
about
get some death threats about that.
Make sure to send your death threats to.
Well, actually, you have almost no presence on social media. So
Bunker
good job.
At bunker.com. We're the only remaining website.
We're on a boat still, right? In
boat,
the Atlantic.
Bunker.
Oh, no.
We are boats.
We are boats.
Nice save.
Yeah, we are boats. we have been in the Atlantic Ocean before.
Sure, but we've left it.
All right.
Or have we?
All right, so. So completely unrelated to this, but back on topic, sorta. All right, genius idea for a reality TV show.
Oh, please.
Better than David Mead's reality TV show.
Not a high bar, but
and,
sure.
And you know, I fully release this idea, you know, to be given out. Anyone can use this idea if you somehow have the means to make it happen. But you get conspiracy theory personalities such as Alex Jones, David Mead, David Icke, and you get a bunch of them, and there are a bunch of them out there.
Absolutely,
you get a bunch of them on board.
Is Aleister Crowley dead?
He is dead.
Very much.
Let's raise him from the dead.
Brandon, do you not remember? He was born in like
1885. Yes, I remember. I just
1875.
You never know.
He's very dead.
Anyway, okay, so you get all those personalities on board.
Yeah.
Then what you do is you pair them off into teams.
Okay.
Preferably. People who don't like each other, and then you send them basically to do like the Amazing Race. just have them have to
so
work
like David
as a
Icke
team.
And Alex Jones, because they don't like each other as a team.
Having to work as a team in order to get somewhere, complete a challenge, and then make it there before everyone else, and achieve some goal, and then you know they get some prize or whatever. I don't care what they get, but like. How much fun would that be to watch?
And Ike's just like, the reptilians are slowing us down. Alex Jones is like, enough about the reptilians. You're shitting in the punch bowl.
You're going to turn the friggin' frogs gray. Yeah.
Okay.
I
fantastic.
Feel like that is the better idea.
That's a good idea. And I also now have a reality show idea.
Yes. Oh, okay.
It's kind of similar, but also different. So you take these conspiracy big heads. Like David Icke and Alex Jones and whatnot, or you take people who believe in the conspiracies, and you pair them off with like just a layman, just a random person.
That could also be good.
And they try to convince that person the conspiracy is true, and then you get to watch that person's face as it's just like, what? As they either are just like yes, or just like, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
Yeah,
like
literally just anyone off the street,
and like whoever like gets the most people to join them wins or something, you know. Whoever gets the most followers at the
we'll
end of the season,
we'll call it Cult Wars,
and maybe they have
Cult
to do
Wars.
Oh, Cult Wars, good dude,
it's very good.
We're making this happen, Cult Wars starting.
Cult Wars. Cult Wars on ABC.
First quarter of 2019.
Or 2019.
Yeah, we got to give it a minute.
Would it be on would it be on ABC?
I don't know where it would be. Hmm. It would probably be on Sci-Fi, if we're being honest.
Sci-Fi? Yeah, okay.
Sci-Fi.
All right.
Sci-Fi.
Yeah. Sci-Fi.
Because that is not a popular network, and I feel like we could probably push it.
Yeah, we could probably punt them because nice little deal, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, cool, we need
frankly,
some...
Frankly, just like the History Channel.
There,
oh, my
there
God.
Are, there are too many bad sci-fi movies out there that they just put out.
Honestly, though, History Channel
would be great.
Ancient Aliens, right?
Like, yeah. Right. Oh, no. My God. We'll get the guys from Ancient Aliens, too.
There was a guy
all right.
at an old job of mine. I guess I won't say his name, but he... He really believed in the that stuff. Like, he was a manager, and so our store manager would like go to boxing and stuff. And this guy was always trying to talk to him about it. And the only way that our store manager would let him talk about it was just to like invite him to the boxing matches, and ignore him while drinking and watching boxing. And but the guy went for it because he really wanted to talk about it.
Wow.
I yeah. literally have a same coworker, and it just WWE. That was the that
oh,
was the outlet.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah. Yeah. History Channel.
We'll do it. We're gonna
work.
Also add to that. We add a social media aspect. So whichever team gets the most or cult, I should call them, because that's what they're called. it's called Cult Wars. So whichever cult each week gets the most like hashtags, like hashtag Jones, hashtag Icke.
Right.
Whichever cult gets the most hashtags that week, they get a bonus for the next week.
Yeah.
Bonus.
Bonus.
I like it. They get like a 5 minute head start on like the sidewalk, like handing out flyers or whatever. You know. And then Ike's just saying like, he's handing out so many flyers. Ah, I can't go yet. Ah.
And then he runs. He'd probably be faster though because of his tracksuit.
Yeah, he's. I mean, David Icke is not in the shape he once was. Let me tell you, he has found a rounded form, yeah. But he might don the old tracksuit and.
Well, he better be wearing a tracksuit.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if he's gonna be on the show, that's right. In his contract.
It's his tracksuit. Yeah. I think it's a genius idea. I feel like half the time. When we're looking at Alex Jones, he'll talk to them and try and get them to believe, but then also like try and like sell
them
stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. Alex Jones really tries to sell stuff a lot. Yeah,
he does.
He has to fund his show somehow.
He sells like these like really like no way this is even remotely real like male enhancement products like. That are their like extreme Bauer.
I mean,
powder.
Have you guys seen the picture on?
Oh, where he just got redder.
Yeah. He was like,
oh yes.
He was like, this is like a weight loss pill, and he and like the before picture was just him.
Yep.
And then the after picture was exactly the same him, but redder. Yes.
I saw that
and
on.
And they literally were like, he's thinner.
He's thinner.
He's not. He's not. Just redder.
I saw that on the John Oliver episode about InfoWars.
Yeah. He just looked like he was sunburned. Yes. Looked like he didn't do anything at all. Good news
this is taken at a slightly different time of the year, Alex.
Good
that's
news is
it.
He didn't gain weight.
Yeah,
so that's
sure.
That's a positive, right?
Sure. Not at least a significantly visible amount.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, the last 10 minutes have been nonsense, not related to the episode, but I feel like it's good nonsense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we've got a lot of good
ideas. I apologize that if you're here more for the conspiracies and less for the comedy fun, I apologize for that, but... I mean, that's what you get with this show.
That's a mix of both.
Healthy mix of both.
Thanks, guys, for joining us. We appreciate it. If you guys like the episodes, you know, go back and you know listen to a bunch of them. We got a bunch of them.
We got a bunch of them.
Episode 31 is Nibiru.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean,
episode 8 is the Philadelphia experiment.
Yep.
I cannot name any others.
Yeah, I mean, if this is your first
off the top
time
of my head, but...
if this is your first time joining us, we have a bunch of good ones.
Yeah.
We have an interview with a flat earther. That's like episode 6.
Yes. The Philadelphia experiment was actually really dope.
That one was really good.
Really wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, definitely check out additional episodes. If this is your first week, we thank you for being here. You can follow us on social media at MWRcast. That's Facebook and Twitter. We have a website, MulderWasRight.wordpress.com, where we will post all of our sources and additional information. If you're interested, you can find David Mead's full website. Going to be on our website.
It's at writers-web-services.com. Real story.
Whoa.
Yeah. Leave us a review on whatever podcast app you're listening on. We're on a bunch of them. So,
Yep.
I think that's it for the episode.
We love you all.
We do. We do. We really do.
Do you have any parting words, Brandon?
No, David Mead should stop, but he won't.
I'm interested in more in this further development.
Sure.
Yeah,
because
it sounds like this is really a hot topic.
Well, you know, I wonder. I wonder if maybe he had the best/worst day of his life on September 21st when he spoke to Glenn Beck, and maybe it's all downhill from here.
Maybe that was his Wogan interview. Such as David Icke's Wogan interview in 1991.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Wake up, sheeple!
What in the hell happened?
I do really want to email History Channel.